thanks for coming in again this morning.
Absolutely.
Obviously, folks know that your background is you came from Nebraska. And, you know, last couple of weeks, we've had just stunningly cold weather here. And while you might be used to it, we really weren't. For your officers and also maybe for the criminal element, how does really cold weather over a period of time kind of affect crime trends?
Well, the first thing for the officers is they have to dress appropriately for the weather. And 90% of your days might be spent inside of a heated cruiser, but when it's not, you've got to be dressed for it. I think back to being a recruit officer, and it was literally a 30 below zero wind chill, and I had to direct traffic.
Oh.
And I was not dressed properly for it. I was wearing the standard issue leather jacket that I felt looked cool, and I really froze. And fortunately, my coach, who had about 27 years on the job at the time, took sympathy in me and let me sit in the car while he directed traffic for a while to warm up. But I think over the long term, when you have extended cold, crime tends to go down, not always, but sometimes there's exceptions to that, such as family disturbance calls tend to go up in extended cold weather just because people are cooped up together.
Well, also, I guess you got a lot more accident investigation, a lot of really just fender bender type stuff, but you got to get the traffic cleared through there.
Well, exactly. When the roads get a little bit slick, people forget how to drive, or in some cases, particularly, I kind of give Texas drivers a break because they're not used to driving on slick roads.
Amen.
But even in Omaha, where they should be used to it, the first slick weather, slick roads of the year, we have way too many accidents to handle. And the classic advice is slow down. If you don't need to be out, don't be out. When the weather's like that, those are really words to live by.
Sure. Eric Buskey, the Bryan Police Chief, is with us this morning. Jeff Capps was with us a few weeks ago, and I was asking him about, I don't know if it's a crime trend, but a lot of people have expensive wheels and rims and tires. And I think the TV station had a story about people that were hitting, at least in College Station, and stealing all four of these things off of vehicles. And there's a lot of money involved there. Are you seeing that trend happening in Bryan as well? And have you got any thoughts as to why it's going on?
Well, I think we've had a couple of cases like that. And I know that, as you mentioned, College Station has, and a few other communities that kind of in the Brazos Valley have. In my experience, normally what that is you have a group of criminals that perfect a technique, or at least they think they do, and they'll go out and start stealing these rims until they get caught, which almost always they do. Ultimately.
And again, at $1,500 a wheel, that's I don't know how that fences out on the other side, but that's some money. I was talking to an officer not too long ago as we talked about communication and how either your officers communicate with one another within their system or you maybe communicate with College Station or SO or even beyond that. Can you give us a little bit of a view as to what kind of abilities you have to communicate with other officers and other departments that maybe you didn't even have 5 years ago?
Well, I think that technology has helped that. I mean, the radio systems have all been updated to where, or are in the process of being updated to where if we need to talk to each other, we can. In the old days, it was more of a patch through thing that would happen. So, I mean, in the very literal sense of communicating with each other in the last 5 years, it's gotten a lot better. But I still think the most important communication is the informal communication that occurs. And I think, based on my observation, that happens all through all levels of the area departments. I think we do a pretty good job. I know the troops on the ground talk to each other. I know that the executives of the various agencies, we get together every month for lunch and talk about issues going on. And I think that communication is pretty good.
Let's say, I mean, what would it take right now, for instance, if an officer needed to talk to somebody in Galveston, maybe an officer in Galveston? Is that something that's readily available and easy, or is that you have to jump through some hoops to get there?
Well, that'd probably be a phone call. I mean, it wouldn't be something you'd do from your cruiser radio, but, frankly, if you're needing to talk to somebody in Galveston, you're probably at a point in an investigation or whatever, you're at a place you can make that phone call and get a hold of someone. But, in law enforcement in general, in particularly at the worker bee ranks, we want to help each other. And in my career, I've never had a problem reaching out to another agency and asking for help, or most places will absolutely bend over backwards to help you out.
Talking to Bill Flores, our congressman, yesterday, and I think BV Cog, the Brazos Valley Council of Governments, were up there talking to him, and they were discussing communications exactly within the counties. And I guess my thought is, obviously, you want to be on cutting edge as much as your budget will allow, but do you ever end up being behind the curve, or do you get a chance to be on the wave or ahead of the curve? Because big cities may have the budget for it, or small towns may not. Where does Bryan fit into that, and have you been in a situation where dollars have been important, and the federal grants made the difference in you getting a system and not getting a system?
Well, I mean, federal grants are important to local law enforcement, and in particular, you know, like now where everybody's tightening their belts, but the problem is the feds are tightening their belts now too, so they're a little bit sparser. What grants allow us to do is to buy a system, where it'd be much more difficult to do that through local funding if you needed it. But I think the other thing in technology, you have to be careful. You don't really want to be the first agency out the door with new technology, because inevitably, if you think about a flat screen TV, I mean, the first time when they first came out, how expensive they were, and they get cheaper pretty quickly. And I think law enforcement communication and technology is kind of the same way. You don't necessarily want to be the very first agency on board.
With that tightening of the belt, are there some things out there that are precarious from a funding position, not only for Bryan, but for other police departments that they've been looking for money from the federal government that may not be there this time around?
I don't know if precarious is the right word. I mean, there's certainly needs, but typically if you're running a police department well or any entity well, you don't count on grants for your day-to-day operations, things that you have to get done. What you count on grants for are improving a technology or like I said, buying a system, something like that. So it hurts to lose them, but you can get by without them if you have to.
Eric Buskey is the Bryan Police Chief. He's in to visit with us about once a month. Anything else on your radar screen or something we need to make people aware of?
Not really.
Okay. Let's just keep it safe as we can, huh?
We will do that.
Hey, thanks for the time, Chief.
Absolutely.
All right. News Talk 1620 WTAW.